The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They making plans. We sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mouse. Packers players back in the locker room at 12:65 yesterday as the Packers get ready for the Bears. In the 24 hours since we hung out, did the Bears get better, get worse? There was talk of change and movement, and maybe there will be no movement. They're still stinky, right? I just want to make sure we start the day all on the same page.
It was probably the low point. We played the low point yesterday of
the day.
Eberflus's phone not working while he was being grilled by our friends at ESPN 1000 in Chicago. I didn't think the day necessarily got better from there. It didn't get worse, though.
Low point there. I think the low point's still ahead of them, but it's the lowest point of yesterday.
Yes.
Wait, hold on. What if the rumors that they were going to bench Caleb Williams for Badgett were true? Would that have been lower than Eberflus yesterday, not being able to answer the tough questions from Cap and company? Hello?
Yeah, it's a Joshy problem.
That was my fault.
Wrong
mic.
Did you know?
I'll give you a pass.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you know he does that? He turns you down all the way?
I see. So I don't have total control?
No.
Wait a minute. Yes.
I don't want total control.
You want the illusion that
yes,
you have total control.
Yes,
that you're you
right.
have total
That's
control.
Why I said yes.
Okay.
Okay, so now we're all on the same page.
The coaches suck. They're terrible. And it's the Bears, so why we're surprised, I have no idea. When you have the talent they have on offense, right? Two good receivers, a good tight end, a good running back, O-line, you should be able to piece together. That's all coaching, man. They suck. They suck. But why are we surprised? This is typical Bears. It's like if you cannot move an offense with that talent, that's on you. It's just it's mind-boggling.
Oh, the Bears are botching a coaching situation?
I know.
This is wild.
I don't get, and the McCaskies are still running the show there.
Yep.
Let's just hope they live to about 140. You know?
Modern medicine and all? Really rooting for you.
It's like if you went to wherever, Costco, and said, hey, buy this. It's unbelievable. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're a hell of a cook and you eat well, I'm following your lead. You have a successful franchise to the north, I'm stealing everyone out of there I can. That's what I would do. If I knew nothing about football, I'd say, who's the best in football? What's the best franchise? Steal everyone from there. Right? Holmgren did it in Seattle,
mm-hmm.
and Ron was pissed that he took. But that's just smart. It's not only smart in football, it's smart in business. Right?
Yeah. I mean, it didn't work necessarily. Everybody tried to do that with New England.
Yeah, but they had some successful
right? Like, that's one guy who kind of was the architect of all
that. But if you look
that.
At the front
and
office,
he literally did everything.
Who's the guy that went to Kansas City that was good? Pioli was good.
Ish.
See, I don't think they get enough credit.
I mean, he got fired.
He got fired, but Andy took John Dorsey, right?
Yep.
John Dorsey is a very good, didn't work so well in Cleveland, although you see how good Baker Mayfield could be. He was just a turd when he went there. He had to grow up. But Andy took John Dorsey.
You don't think some of that was organizational as well?
I do. Yeah. I do. But that doesn't go to, let me tell you what. There's a lot of bad coaches in that league.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of bad coaches,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
but
people want to put it all on other.
Bad coaches sort of end up with the bad franchises, isn't it? Isn't it interesting how, like, there is a marriage sort of that happening, right?
But you know what's weird, though? And I never knew this until my son told me, and it's the same for college as it is in the pro. Like, there was a position. There was a coach that was taken from an organization that you know and you followed that went to a pro team, and he's a high up, and he was allowed to take two coaches with him. Like, I'm blown away. I'm like, hold on, you are now running the show here, and you only get to take two of your guys? Like, why wouldn't you be able to take all your guys, guys you feel comfortable working with? It's, I had no idea. And ADs put these rules on these coaches that are being hired. Like, I know a head coach, a guy who was hired as a head coach, a program we all know, that couldn't take his own assistant coaches.
That's wild.
I'm like, what? I'm like, what? And now you know why there's bad coaches.
I spent a lot of time yesterday listening to a lot of Bears content, a lot of Bears fans.
Is that what you do during Bears week?
Yes, yes. The Schartenfarter. The Schartenfarter was at
a very
high level yesterday. They're like totally resigned. They're starting to doubt whether they could ever develop a quarterback. They thought Caleb Williams was going to be like Bears suckness proof, and they're starting to doubt that already. Just a few weeks ago, they were certain he was the guy. And it almost is, I almost had a bad time listening to it because they don't have the delusional, there's no delusion anymore. They're just giving up. They said, we're never going to be good. This is it forever until the McCaskey sell.
One more example, okay? Because I'm a little biased with my son. He was up for the head coaching job at a school north of here, right? They didn't hire. You know what that coach is now after 2 years?
After your son did not get the head coaching job.
0-21.
Oh, I was
if my son was 0-21 at that school, he'd be out of the family.
not only should he be fired, but he's kicked out.
He would be out of my family. 0-21.
Would you make him change his last name?
Yeah.
To what?
I don't know. Let's. 0-21.
Eberflus. Eberflus.
Owen. He changed his name to Owen.
But that just goes to show you the people making decisions, and not all of them, you know, more than not are good, but there are some idiots. There's just some idiots.
If you were Caleb Williams, though, wouldn't you, recognizing maybe that you don't have the best environment to grow, right? There's that thing that you see sometimes where it's like, if a plant isn't flourishing, you don't throw away the plant, you change the soil, right? Like, if you were Caleb Williams, wouldn't you try to change your soil? And I don't mean moving to another team, but I mean going, hey, y'all don't have the ingredients, y'all don't have the things I need to flourish, to get better. I'm going to go get my own quarterback's coach. I'm going to go get my own strength coach. I'm going to go, you know what I'm saying? Like, at some point, can't he have autonomy over that? Can't he say,
in the offseason, like, you start, again, bringing in your own coaches into the facility.
Russell Wilson?
Ha!
Is that what you were going to say?
Just look at the example up north of here. It's going to be 40 good years of quarterback coaching. You think it was all Brett? Or it had something to do with Mariucci, Andy Reid, and then you go to Mike McCarthy, and then you go to Tom Clemens, right?
Yeah.
It's not all the player. I'm sure Caleb Williams has as much talent as Jordan Love.
Again, if you take a look at the way that they were able to do it. I mean, Brett was literally on his way out of the league until Ron got him and Mike coached him up. Aaron Rodgers had wonky mechanics when he got to Green Bay.
Whether he wants to admit it or not.
I mean, Jeff Tedford keeping the ball up by your ear hole. Come on, man. And Mike McCarthy cleaned that up again. Yeah. Whether or not Rodgers wants to admit that or not.
Which he doesn't.
I mean, look at what Jordan Love was when he played and started that game for Rodgers against the Chiefs to what we think he can be now. Malik Willis is another example.
Yes,
somebody left for dead that you made productive in 2.5 games this season.
Which, by the way, we're going to get that as the morning goes on, because Bill Huber from Sports Illustrated put out some of his grades for the offense, the defense, the coaching, and the personnel. And that detail alone, Gabe, what you just mentioned about Matt LaFleur and Malik Willis, I thought should have elevated the grade that Bill Huber and company gave to Matt LaFleur and the coaching staff. But we will get to that as the morning goes on. So we feel just as strongly today as we did yesterday about the Packers securing a victory, because Chewy yesterday said that he thought it would be closer than a lot of people are saying. Like, this should be a boat race. This should be a curb stomp. This should be, by halftime, take it easy, gang. That you're so far ahead by halftime, you should be able to sort of take your foot off the gas in the second half.
I mean, the game hasn't even started, and it should be a step on your throat game, right? The Bears are already done.
Yeah. Well, because here's the thing.
I'm not afraid of their offense. I'm not afraid of their defense. I'm just afraid of the crazy crap that happens when you go to Soldier Field.
So
that's it.
And the Packers' propensity to have something stupid happen on special teams.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm not afraid of any side, either side of the ball. I'm just afraid of the weird stuff, which is a lot of times how they win. So, but if they lose this game bad, Eberflus is fine. I mean,
are you sure?
Yes. I mean, if it's 38-7 with 175 yards of offense, he's gone.
If they don't score a touchdown for a third consecutive game, he's gone.
You remember when Ryan Poles took over and said that one of their main goals was going to be to beat the Packers?
Yeah.
They haven't won in 10 games.
Is that what it's been?
Yeah.
Yeah, we own you. Don't share the video or the... me and Gabe, we need a little break.
Yeah, just right?
You
just,
and Gabe.
He's looking out for me.
You're still on vacation time.
He's a team guy. He's a team player.
Yeah.
Joey, if you had to guess where the Bears were in total defense this season... Where would you guess? Again, defense, which again is something that the Bears try to hang their hat on.
Well, I watched a little of that game and they said their run defense is terrible. So my guess is they're probably low 20s, 23.
Okay. So run defense specifically, 20th.
Okay.
According to foxsports.com. Passing defense, 8th.
That's pretty good.
So do your little chewy math. Where do you think the overall defense is?
Well, the chewy math is points and yards.
Yeah, but you can.
So what are points? Do you have the points in front of you?
I have total defense, which is defensive yards allowed, not touchdowns allowed. Bears are the 12th ranked defense, according to defensive yards. Actually, I can't tell what this is. Going by.
But the defense isn't as solid as last year.
The defense is 13th in yards, and they are 7th in points.
Ah, so their D's still pretty good. My guess is there's a heavy, heavy dose of finger pointing, because it's hard to do in a season. When you lose a game and your offense gets the job done.
But the offense hasn't been getting the job done.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The defense is like, I'm telling you, you're sitting there going, he sucks. What's he doing
playing? Well, that's what I was going to say, is a lot of times when you have a rookie quarterback under center, the philosophy is it's going to take him a little bit of time to get used to the speed of the NFL. But if you have a good defense in place, Chew, and you are the biggest subscriber of this, that'll help them with that transition, right? Like, hey,
yes. We
know it's going to take you and the offense some time to click, some time for you to get used to the speed of the NFL game, but we're going to hold them. And that way you don't have to do as much at the beginning of the season. As the season goes on, we're going to ask you to do a little more, a little more, a little more. So is that the philosophy you think that the Bears went into this season with? They thought, we're going to have a decent defense. We're going to be able to hold teams to under X number of points, giving Caleb and company the opportunity to slowly evolve, slowly come along as the year goes on.
There's no reason why they're not playing better, because like I said, you have two good receivers, a good tight end, and a good back. So, and they do rush the ball fairly well. I watched a little bit against the Patriots. It's just play calling is an art. And if your offensive coordinator doesn't know art, which I don't think he does, he's not going to be very good. Because it's set up for play action pass, right? With young guys, that's the easiest thing to do, right? Run the ball. Hey, whew, whoo. I haven't watched a lot of Bears. To me, it sounds like they're probably doing too much. You got your receivers frustrated, one walking off the field in the middle of a play. But no one nips it in the bud. It's just like, and if you let players get away with stuff, they're going to try and get away with more. I don't care who you are, right? Someone does something stupid, really, really stupid, and there's no consequence. Well, what's to stop the guy from doing it again? You know? God, Mike and Sterling used to battle without saying anything to one another. Sterling drove him up a wall. But Mike had no other option, because when we called a play, it was, we're Sterling and then run. Right?
But I assume that Sterling also respected Mike's football acumen. Not at all?
Nope.
Even after you won?
Nope.
Sullivan. That's just crazy town.
World's most selfish player. I mean, I loved him as a person too, but
interesting.
God, I was glad he was gone.
It feels to me like even if you feel like you are the straw that stirs the drink, you recognize that you didn't do it alone. But
yes. Like he wanted, you know, and he got, and he wanted the ball in every play.
I mean, if 100 people chew and asked, is Mike Holmgren a good coach?
Great coach.
100% of them are saying yes.
Yeah.
Except for Sterling, you're saying. Maybe he'd say he's a great coach, but he's saying
And Sterling was a great player. But you know what? All about Sterling.
I want to give you a quick nugget from Adam Schefter. Yesterday, Adam Schefter was on the Pat McAfee show. He said, I would expect there'll be some sort of change in Chicago on the offensive side of the football. Is that changing the play caller? Is that changing the quarterback and benching Caleb for Badgett? I think all these things are being discussed in the building today. Now, I don't know. I think you guys said that maybe somebody came out and said they're not.
Eberflus said that they're sticking with Caleb Williams as the starter.
Do you expect there to be any other change this week to go along with Adam Schefter's theory that something offensively will change?
Not at this point. I mean, if you were going to fire your play caller in Shane Waldron or take those duties away from him, you're starting to work on the game plan today. Like, wouldn't have that had to happen yesterday?
What's today, Tuesday?
Yeah.
Oh, they were working on it yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They're in the building the whole day.
Yeah, so once you have made that change yesterday.
They're going to, change the right guard or something and just say that's the changes we made.
I mean, let me ask
you
that.
You got to do something.
Did they just maybe miss on Caleb Williams?
Look, they're so dysfunctional, I can't say that.
You can't tell.
I have no idea.
I mean, I would like to see his numbers this year against Bryce Young's last year. Well, and Bryce Young had no talent.
They're still a lot better than Bryce Young's last year.
Yeah, Young was close to one of the worst of all time.
Wow.
And the Packers still let him throw for 300 yards.
The problem is the worst quarterback who's played in the first round is the one in Chicago. The best, the other three guys who have played have performed much better to this point in the season.
And one has performed really well.
Yes. He's MVP conversation.
Yes.
Reaction rolling in this morning, guys, as we talk about the Bears-Packers game this upcoming weekend. It is Bears week here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And let's see. Folks are saying, Clint is saying, no matter how many diapers Caleb Williams soils, the Bears will still suck. He can change the soil all he wants. I think he's taking some liberties with my use of the word soil there this morning, but I will allow it. And then we have on the personal talk and text line, Ashton Rotman saying, for the record, I still think Caleb is the guy. The organization is the virus.
And they very well could kill Caleb Williams. Yeah. The virus could kill Caleb Williams. That's how infectious that organization can be.
Caleb Williams might need to become a Steeler to see his full potential reach.
Here's pulling that out of the air. Just hypothetically speaking.
Just one team that I can think of.
Quarterback from the Bears that went to the Steelers and has maybe had some success. I like the idea. I mean, it might not happen, Joshy. You got to convince yourself or resign yourself to the fact that that might not happen, but I like the theory that you're putting out there.
Idea.
We got to get to Jason Wilde. Talk to him about what some of the guys said in the locker room yesterday at 12:65. Stick around. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Check in with our friend and teammate Jason Wilde, especially the week that the Green Bay Packers are taking on the Chicago Bears. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm struggling with the idea that you can describe someone as the most selfish teammate you've ever known and then say, but I got along great with him personally. How is that I cannot imagine getting along with someone who cares so much more about himself than he does about me as a teammate. Can you help me understand that?
I don't know. He was a nice guy off the field. The only thing that drove you nuts, and Jason, were you there on his back end?
No. So he suffered that neck injury in what?
94 was his last year.
You know what game that was, too? I believe it was the last game.
Tampa Bay.
Oh, I thought it was the last game against Atlanta in County Stadium.
No, because he played. He had a good game against the Buccaneers the last game of the season and then missed the playoff game.
Jason, he's a really good guy off the field. The only thing off the field that you didn't like is he would not sign autographs for players unless you sent it in the mail to him.
What?
I swear to God. Swear to God, my cousin wanted his autograph one time. I'm like, hey, Stroh, can you show this? Nah, you got to send it in the mail. I'm like, okay, that tracks. But Jason, and we all know Sterling loved the ball. He was a great receiver. But when his number didn't call, Jason, and I'm running like wide deep cross, and he's on the opposite side, and his job is to clear it out so I don't get killed, he's going three-quarter speed.
Yeah, not interested.
I don't want to play with you.
Great guy though.
Great guy.
Yeah. Love him personally.
Yes.
I mean, Jason, this is also the same. I'm not going to say who Chewy was describing when he told me this, but he asked somebody that he's dealt with in his personal life of, he's a great guy. He's just a crook.
Who's that?
No.
He's described that person, somebody like that, to me as well. So this is just a part of who Chewy is, Jason.
Hmm. Was that his old quarterback he was describing that way?
That was good.
That's a good pop.
That was good. I'm trying to think of who it was.
Well, we'll discuss off the
air.
God, the number of times that we block for you, Chewy, here on this program.
I'm much better on Thursdays. Jason.
Better than Sterling Sharp.
Jason, does Goody value the locker room?
No, I don't. I mean, he says he does, but you know, I was listening to you guys, and look, I get what Jaden Reed said yesterday about his value in the locker room, Preston Smith. But you know, first of all, he did request a trade, right? Now, the question that I have for Goody, which I wish I would have had that information when we talked to him last Wednesday, is: did you trade him to honor the trade request? Or if the Steelers had not called, would you have kept him? Because I thought it was really interesting that Goody made the comment about how there is risk with this trade, and when you move on from someone like Preston Smith, you're one or two injuries away from asking yourself, ooh, maybe that wasn't such a good idea, which I thought was a really interesting, honest look at his mentality about the trade. Now, that said, I don't think that that's a high priority for him, because Rasul Douglas last year was extremely popular, was a really good leader. I know there were people that thought, oh, he shoots his mouth off too much or whatever else. But a lot of that was not necessarily speaking truth to power, but certainly having his teammates back and being willing to talk to Joe Barry or whoever it might be. Matt LaFleur thought the world of Rasul Douglas. And obviously LaFleur has a much better feeling for the locker room, even though, you know, coaches still don't know all that either. They certainly aren't in there all the time invading players' space. I go back to one of my favorite movies, which is Moneyball, and I really do believe that the scene where Brad Pitt sends Jonah Hill on the road and says, I can't get personally connected to these guys. I am convinced that Goody believes that. And while Aaron Rodgers has plenty of foibles and plenty of things that I don't agree with, I do think that his position on that is accurate. And now, do I have a bias in favor of a guy like my friend John Schneider, who famously, there's a photo of him when the Seahawks went to the Super Bowl wearing like a wrestling belt in the locker room without a shirt on because he was more connected to the players. Yeah, is that a little, maybe a bridge too far? I know he's embarrassed by that photo,
he shouldn't be. That's an awesome picture.
Right, and it says how he connects with his players, even though sometimes he has to cut them or trade them. And so, again, Goody has his process. It's hard to argue with it. They've had a ton of success, although they have not won a Super Bowl on his watch. But I just think philosophically there are two kind of tent poles to his approach to being a general manager. One, it's a young man's game. And last year solidified that in his mind after he went against what he believed to keep the Rodgers veteran era group together, and it didn't yield the Super Bowl. And two, that he's not going to get connected to these players because he believes that he has to keep that distance in order to do his job well. And it's hard to argue with him because I don't think they're going to miss Preston Smith terribly, whereas last year I think they could have used Rasul Douglas. And the fact that they had some interest in corners at this year's trade deadline tells you that maybe they should have never traded Rasul Douglas to begin with.
Well, Jason, so I come down of maybe they are going, if somebody is being described in maybe somebody said this last year about Rasul Douglas and I don't remember it, but if Jaden Reed is stepping up and going, yeah, man, that guy's the heartbeat of the team. But correct me if I'm wrong, the heartbeat's pretty strong. Like, the heartbeat's a pretty big, important thing of anything. So how do they go about replacing that? Because at the end of the day, they traded away their oldest player, and they're still the youngest team in the league. Like, who steps up, and who is that new heartbeat? Who is that new leader?
Yeah, and look, I think it's important to point out biases. I try to point out mine at every turn. Jaden Reed and Preston Smith are pretty tight. Like, their lockers are next to each other. The two of them would always play this stupid game that I don't know how. I still don't understand all the rules, but the one where you face each other, and it's basically doing the opposite of mirroring each other. Like, if I pick my head up, you've got to point it down, and if I point right, you've got to point left, and I would be terrible at it. I can guarantee you that. But they played that every day. And there was definitely that area of the locker room, because unlike the old days when Chewy had that obnoxious locker in the corner that you couldn't get to, they are not grouped by position. Several years ago, LaFleur decided to kind of jumble up the locker room. So instead of having all the defensive linemen in one area, there's like Reed, Matt Orzech, the long snapper, Preston Smith's old locker. It's just a mishmash of guys at that end, right? And so I think, and again, I don't want to speak for Jaden Reed, but reading what he said yesterday, you know, I think that it's probably for him personally, Preston was the heartbeat of the team. But I would argue that there are two players, even though they're in their first year on this team, that have legitimately taken the leadership reins and have played extremely well, that I would view as the much bigger leaders. I'm not saying that Preston wasn't. Don't get me wrong. But I think Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney are much more impactful. Two guys that were captains on their previous teams. I think there's a connectivity to them that's much greater.
Jason Wilde joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. So Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs are the guys who you think already sort of exist as the heartbeat. So maybe there isn't as much of a void as we are led to believe by Jaden Reed's comments, Jason. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, I think that's a fair interpretation. I don't want to downplay that. Like, to Jaden Reed and probably to other players, Jaden Reed is saying how he feels. Who the hell am I to say that he's wrong? But what I'm saying is while he may feel that way to Jaden Reed, I'm not sure that the entire locker room, if I went through and talked to 25 guys, who is the heartbeat of this locker room before Preston Smith was traded? I'm sure there would have been some that would have said him, but it definitely wouldn't have been unanimous.
But if he's also someone, Jason, who's been giving pre- and post-game speeches.
Yeah, again, I'm not trying to undercut how valuable he may or may not have been, but I also think, like, guys tell us certain things and they don't tell us other things. Like, you know, all of the, not all, but several of the defensive linemen spoke yesterday, and they all claimed that they had no idea that Preston had asked for a trade. So how do you interpret that? Is that him keeping his dissatisfaction under wraps from his teammates and being a good leader, even though he didn't want to be on the team anymore? I don't know how to read that, right? That seems like a disconnect, that here's a guy who is viewed as the heartbeat of the team and takes that responsibility seriously, going to management and saying, I don't want to be here anymore, right? That doesn't compute.
Jason, does it say anything to a Super Bowl ring, though? Because typically guys his age want to stay or go somewhere where they have the best chance at winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I've talked to, obviously I won't talk to him anymore now that he's in Pittsburgh, but I think I talked to Preston Smith twice this season. Like, I did that story about Jeff Hafley, and I talked to 12 different players, and he wasn't one of them. And it wasn't like I, you know, chose not to talk to him. Like, he very rarely was in the locker room during our access periods. He would talk after some games, but not all. And again, I'm not one of those, like, tattletales that is, like, running to the league saying, oh, this guy hasn't talked. Like, when it got as bad as it did with Jimmy Graham or Devondre Campbell, that was different. But, like, I don't think it was a major issue. But I can't really tell you that I have a great feel for where Preston Smith was at in terms of his personal goals or how he was feeling. All I know is that I think he had 2.5 sacks and 8 pressures at the time of his trading. And I think that's indicative of how disappointing that group as a whole has been, because the guy that they're giving $96 million to has 2.5 sacks and 20 pressures in 9 games. Their first-round pick last year has 1 sack and 6 pressures on the year. So, like, I'm not, you know, I don't really have a great feel for, maybe a lot of those guys feel like they haven't quite figured out how to play in this defense, which, again, also doesn't make sense to me, because one of the biggest things we heard was how excited all those guys were up front to no longer have to read and react, and that they could just be one gap and get up the field, which to me sounds a lot easier and simpler than other, you know, the other scenarios that they might have been in.
Good, Jason. I'm glad that you said that. That is exactly where I wanted to go with you next, because if you look at what Preston Smith did this past weekend with the Washington Commanders, he had 1 sack, 1 quarterback hit, 2 tackles for loss, 3 solo tackles. I went and looked back at his game log. I think he had a comparable stat line when they played the Tennessee Titans earlier this year. But does his immediate, quote-unquote, success with the Commanders indicate or hint that maybe the scheme is not suiting any of the guys that the Packers have? That if any of those guys went to another team and a different scheme, they might have immediate success?
Jen, I don't know. I really don't. Like, I didn't watch that game. I don't know. It feels like a lot of excuse making to me, frankly. I just don't believe it. None of these guys are having success. Because, look, Devontae Wyatt had success, right? I mean, he's played pretty well in this system before he hurt his ankle. So I don't know the answer to that. I really don't.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. We're going to continue this Preston Smith conversation because we got a lot of thoughts on it right here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Have a great one.
All right, guys, take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. Listen to him on Wilde and Tausch right after our show right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. I think there are a lot of layers and tentacles to this Preston Smith thing. So you may be saying, why are we talking so much about a guy who is no longer on the Green Bay Packers? Because there's so many little details that sort of give us a peek inside the dynamic of what is going on at 1265. So we will dive into that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. They've been serving businesses and individuals in the area for nearly 15 years, including a long-standing commitment to the healthcare industry. From expansion to treasury management, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions across the healthcare spectrum to meet the complex moments you're navigating. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Can I be Chuck Woolery?
Yeah, Tiny Mike.
Tiny Mike.
Average.
I mean...
No, I want to ask the questions. Tiny Mike.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you missed any of our conversation with Jason Wilde, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcast. We were talking with him about Preston Smith being traded to the Steelers. They played the Commanders this past weekend. And Jaden Reed in the locker room called him the heartbeat of the locker room. Now, Preston was obviously one of the elder statesmen of the Green Bay Packers. And so sometimes when you are the oldest one in a room, you're sort of a de facto leader. You just have experienced more life. You've been around the block. So people kind of lean on you to lead them, you know, help them navigate the newer situations. And I guess you could make the argument that that's 2 years in a row, because Rasul Douglas also was considered, you know, in high regard by the locker room and on the defensive side of the ball as well. So that might be 2 years in a row where Brian Gutekunst has traded away somebody who had leadership value, to say nothing of what they were doing on the field, because it varies from person to person. And we saw Rasul go over to the Buffalo Bills and have success. And Chewy, that made you wonder, and that's why you asked Jason, does Goody not value the dynamic of the locker room enough? What made you say that?
Well, with a young team, see, with a young team, you need guys like that because they got to feel all warm and fuzzy because you're young. Like when Reggie would speak Super Bowl year, I was probably in my, I don't know, sixth or seventh year. I don't need that stuff. I don't listen to that stuff. I'm in my own world. But
oh,
when
really?
You're, pardon? Yeah. But when you're a young player, especially on the road in a hostile place, it just makes you feel a little warm and fuzzy that, okay, this is someone I could look up to, which is weird, though. What the weird thing about it is they kept Mercedes Lewis around for so long, who didn't bring much value. I think Preston Smith now with Green Bay was much better than Mercedes Lewis was at the end.
Yeah, but Mercedes didn't cost anything.
And Aaron's gone now.
Yeah, but you said it wasn't a money thing. You said the...
Well, I mean, they could have gotten out from the money at the... I mean,
at the end of the season?
Yeah, at the end of the season. I mean, they still would have been on the hook for whatever it is for us this season.
Yeah. I don't know. It's very... Especially... I don't think he does. I don't think he sees the locker room as important.
I guess I look at this a little bit differently than I look at the Rasul trade. Because the details around the Rasul trade, to me, are important. The team was 3-6. Didn't think that they were going to be a playoff team. And you got something of substance in return. A third round pick is nothing to sneeze at. But when somebody is being called the heartbeat of the locker room, the way that Jaden Reed said it yesterday, and this is from a piece by Ryan Wood at the Journal Sentinel, you can definitely feel the missing piece a little bit, the energy that he brought. It's definitely a little more quiet, but I'm happy for him. New opportunity for him is the quote in the piece. And like Gary is saying good things about him. Angabari is saying good things about him. Like, to me, that's all worth more than a seventh round pick. Like, you basically gave him away for nothing. And this is it. The team's in a different spot now. They're 6-3. They're trying to chase down the Lions, trying to chase down the Vikings, making sure they're getting a good seeding, an opportunity, have Super Bowl aspirations this year. And, okay, valuing the locker room, not as important last year. Needs to be more important this year because of where you are and what your goals are.
But as to Preston Smith, and I don't know him, I don't know what kind of a player he is, I just know guys that I played with, Eugene Robinson, Sean Jones, Mike Pryor, all these guys, all they wanted was a ring. So, and I look at it like, Preston, I think your chances are better in Green Bay than Pittsburgh at winning a Super Bowl this year. But maybe he's a little selfish and he's all about him. And
well, and that's what I asked you guys this morning, because when we started talking about this in our production meeting, my immediate reaction was, guys like that who are 30 years old, if they look around and say, God, this scheme is not perfect for me, I am not succeeding in this scheme, but man, you know, do the math, carry the one, we could win a Super Bowl here, I'm good, I'm staying. Preston Smith asked for a trade. You know, that detail came out later on, and Goody didn't reveal it, but Preston did, and it came out once he got over to the Steelers. But, like, that to me was an interesting detail. You don't ask for a trade from a team that you think can win a title, guys.
I agree.
You just sit there in your spot, and you go, oh, I'm playing 54% of the snaps, but I'm not getting home as much as I would like to. It's fine. We're still going to win a title, and I'm going to have a ring at the end of this thing.
Well, but maybe he realizes what Chewy realized, that this isn't the year for that. Yeah, you've got a couple of ping pong balls in there, but in the games that you've been testing on, didn't go well against Minnesota, didn't go well against Detroit.
And you know what? And it also could be that a ring doesn't interest him. Maybe he thinks that, hey, I got one more kick at the cat when it comes to a contract for me.
He's been around the league. He's not a dummy. He understands that this was going to be his last year in Green Bay. So if he looks at it and goes, yeah, there's still a year or two away here, I'm not going to win a ring here, maybe I can catch on someplace and establish myself before, and then I can win a ring there.
What do you think, Joshy? Do you interpret Preston Smith asking for a trade at 30 years old as him being like, we can't win it here? Because I think if he thought that they could win it here, he wouldn't be asking for a trade.
I don't necessarily think that, because if we are to believe him for he requested the trade, usually the way that happens is your agent goes out and seeks those places where you can go based on scheme and where you're trying to land. I think it's a guy that's kind of just looking for another contract to extend his life in the NFL. His snaps were waning in Green Bay, and he sort of saw his football mortality happen in front of him. He figured, if I can go to a place where I feel like I'm used the best, maybe I can eke out a few more years in the league. And I mean, Pittsburgh's, I don't think they have as good of a chance to win the Super Bowl as the Green Bay Packers, nor do I think they will in the near future, but it's a good place to be. You have a good establishment, a good coach.
Yeah, because they got good coaching, unlike somewhere else we were talking about earlier.
So, like, I guess you can justify, like, well, maybe we have a chance there. It just, I think he's looking for more contracts.
Well, and even though he's 30 years old, my guess is playing for longer is probably still more important than just a ring. I don't think he was going, yep, I want a ring, I'm retiring now. I'm got to imagine that's really hard, Chew, for somebody that, I mean, you went through it.
Yeah.
You literally work your entire life to be a professional football player, and then suddenly it's over and you're 32 years old, 33 years old.
Yeah, and now 30 is the old, probably 33.
Right. Yeah.
Right? All right, a little sidebar, though. What would Pittsburgh be with Chicago's coaching staff? They're
Chicago?
7-2. Would they be 2-7? No, I mean, really.
I mean, probably.
Well, Justin Fields doesn't get that opportunity, right?
Yeah. He's not getting an opportunity now anyways.
Oh, but he did well when he was out there. I know Russell Wilson retook the spot, but I got reaction rolling in on the YouTube page, guys. It helps a ton that Preston Smith now has TJ Watt on the other side, that from Kelly. And Jaylian saying the Steelers are a year or two away from winning a Super Bowl as well. Chad says Preston Smith's logic makes no sense. Did he actually think that Russell Wilson would win a Super Bowl with Pittsburgh? They'll never get past Baltimore and Kansas City. I think that's what you were saying, Joshy and Chu, about how, hey, it's tough sledding in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
You got a lot of top teams there that you have to work your way through. And I feel like, again, and Gabe, correct me if I'm wrong, but the odds makers also think the Packers have a better shot at a Super Bowl than the Steelers.
Yeah, this year, Packers are plus 2,300 to win. The Steelers are plus 2,800. But again, I think if you're looking at a place where maybe you can catch on and renegotiate your deal and stay there for a little bit longer versus, I mean, I don't know if there was anything he was going to do in Green Bay that was going to keep him around, short of getting a sack in every single game from here on the rest of the season, right? Like, I don't think there was going to be anything. If he finished the year the way he had started with 5.5, 6 sacks, the Packers were going to move on from him at the end of the year.
Bo weighing in saying Preston knew Green Bay isn't really a contender, which I think if a lot of people are being honest with themselves, Green Bay isn't a contender this year. The Preston Smith thing is interesting. I know he is not a player who is a member of the Green Bay Packers, but the Jaden read comments about him being the heartbeat of the locker room. Chewy's question about, does that mean that Goody doesn't value the dynamic of the locker room, or does it value? And we have seen this trend of Goody trading away or getting rid of, distancing themselves from players who are aging out, quote unquote, of his version of the roster, of his version of the league. And then, of course, you have Preston Smith looks around the locker room, and if he thinks this team can win a Super Bowl, I think you're staying. I do, Gabe.
Yeah.
I think you're staying. I think if you think this team, if you think this team is the Lions this year, even if you're not having the production that you might have had in a different scheme, you go, I'm good. No, we're good. We're good. What do you need from me? I got whatever you need. I got it.
Are we sure he asked for a trade?
Again, Rob brought that up yesterday. Check it out. Wisconsin On Demand. Rob Domofsky, ESPN.com, said maybe this is a guy who got traded, and once he arrived at a news pay, no, they didn't fire me. I quit. What are you talking about? No. No, she didn't break up with me. I broke up with her. Clearly, that's the way this went down, guys.
Ricardo from Canada weighing in saying, guys, he wasn't Reggie White. We weren't winning because of Preston, and we won't lose because of him. I think this is all overboard.
Yeah.
They still have a strong locker room with ex Jair, Kenny Clark, and remember Jason Wilde also mentioned Josh
Jair?
Jacobs. I know. I just read the text. I just read the text, okay? My brain did the same thing that your brain did.
Look, don't get me wrong. I love me some Jair.
Was I close there, Josh?
I thought you nailed it.
Good.
All right, let's hear it.
Absolutely.
Well, I can't do it that fast.
We got a hot key there. We got a Jair hot key in there somewhere.
This one? Ooh, yeah.
No, that's fun, though.
It's a different one.
Wait, let's play hot key roulette. Can you find the Jair one?
Nope.
Just start hitting buttons.
Muy bueno.
Yeah, there you go.
You like that? You like that?
First of all, I can do whatever I want.
Right? We're back in.
We? No.
Dog, he put the team on his back.
Nervous?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I haven't even heard some of these on our show.
And we still haven't found them.
Yeah. There you go. Where is he
All
at
rise.
Now?
Rise. Here is the Honorable Judge Jen.
Oh my gosh, that's from like the first few months of the show, Judge Jen. We still didn't find the chair.
Zero fun, sir.
You might want to change your music preset.
Here's
that's
one.
The old crying queen.
You're so mean. You're the crying queen.
Tune in to College Game Day on Saturday morning, everybody, if you want to know what that one means. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this. Hey, all you sports bettors, if you haven't made your way to the Potawatomi Casino Hotel Sportsbook yet, you are missing out on an elite experience. It's a complete sports betting paradise. You know they've got the self-service betting kiosk. You know they've got the seating for more than 200 people. You know they've got the great bar and the restaurant. I get the fried chicken every single week when we are out there, guys. It is divine. And, of course, the giant video wall, more than 2,000 square feet. They have really figured it all out. Bet above the rest, only at Potawatomi.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ryan and McGuanago weighing in. Hey, if you find something that sucks for 25 years, you hold on to that.
Yeah, that is. Very good point.
Because usually the sucking only happens before you get married, and then the sucking just stops.
We're going to get fired.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
Yeah. All right. Chewy, I think we found somebody who you would identify with.
Who's that?
Fran Brown. Are you familiar with Fran Brown?
I am not.
First of all, Fran is a gentleman. I just want to put that out there before we get too far down this road. Fran Brown is the Syracuse football coach. And if his team doesn't win, and you told us in the first segment of the show that you feel very strongly about winners. You like winners.
Yeah, we want winners.
Yes, correct. He doesn't shower. He feels, quote, he doesn't deserve the soap.
Okay. Self-imposed punishment.
Kind of how you feel just about every day.
But you get sweaty coaching.
I'm sure.
I mean.
But after he lost, he feels like he didn't earn it. He doesn't deserve it.
He didn't earn the shower.
He's got to sit there in shame. I wonder how
long
it takes.
I'm okay not showering if you don't do anything all day long. You know, like those Sundays you get up and you're like, I don't have the strength to shower. That's fine. But after a workout or something like that, or even coaching because you get all lathery, I won't take it that far.
Let's hear from Fran.
Honestly, I got like a ritual. Like when we lose, I ain't even getting a shower till early this morning. I just be mad. I just brush my teeth. But it's like, I don't deserve soap. I don't deserve to do all that. I'm just focused on like trying to get back and trying to make sure that our players mentally understand and know that I let them down, that they didn't do it. You know, I just wake up all night.
All right. But I mean, do his players know that he hasn't been showering?
It's like, it's not just a punishment for you. It's a punishment for everyone, right? Like, I understand being like, I don't deserve soap. Sure, but do the people in your vicinity
not if you're flying back on the plane.
Soap?
They don't deserve soap either.
How about the bed with your wife? I would think his wife. I mean, you got to wash the sheets or no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
Eh.
What do you mean, eh?
Oh, it says here, he doesn't shower after a loss. It means he can't sleep in the same bed as his wife.
Oh, okay.
So double punishment. Fair.
That extends the punishment.
How often do you guys wash your sheets at your house?
Every week, but sometimes it goes like 10 days, 2 weeks. What is that face?
Every week?
Yeah.
I don't have time.
You have nothing but time, famously.
No, Josh, you can go 3 weeks?
It's 2 weeks. This is like usually the max.
Yeah, my wife does it every week. Now, the fact that our washing and drying like is upstairs, like right next to our bedroom, probably helps with the fact that it's super easy. Just strip the bed, throw it all in there, and don't have to worry
about it. What's the longest you think you've gone in the last year?
A month.
Okay.
Probably 3 weeks.
But again, not on purpose. Sort of like it kind of got lost. You know, it fell between the cracks sort of thing.
Yeah, but sometimes they say clean is not good for you.
Well, who says
here
that?
Here we go.
I'm just saying, that's what I've heard.
Whomst says that?
I don't know, on the internet.
You don't know how to work the internet?
You can't navigate past the ESPN homepage.
I mean, a week, there's no way. No, that's up. That negotiation's over with there.
What do you claim to be so busy with that you can't? Aren't you just like...
I had to put up all the Christmas lights yesterday. Well, now sure. I got to do the outside.
So yesterday, you couldn't wash the sheets.
Yep.
But I got a feeling that today is wide open for you, big
but
guy.
I'm leaving Friday, and they'll kind of re-clean themselves.
They do not re-clean themselves.
What do you mean, re-clean themselves?
With the cold,
Yeah. Do you think your sheets are in there like a cat? Like, what do you think clean themselves?
I'm just saying.
Where is it getting soap in order to clean itself?
There's no way 1 week I'm doing the sheets every week. Forget about it.
Do you do the laundry in your house?
Well, that's a source of contention. Define laundry. Do you have to take it all the way to the end point?
Yes. Yes. I feel very strongly
No, I don't
about
do
this.
That because yes. I'm a bad folder.
Well, maybe because you're not allowed to fold, but I feel very strongly that putting a load in the washing machine is not doing the laundry. That is starting the laundry, but doing the laundry is taking it to completion.
No, because I get the hampers, I put it in, I wait for it to be done, then I put it in the dryer, and then I take it out and I put it somewhere for Angie to fold.
But again, it sounds like you guys have that arrangement. I'm just saying that the term doing the laundry includes completing the task.
Doing the laundry is a team activity in your house.
I think if you take it past the 50% mark, you're doing most of the laundry.
Yeah, because
like if I just put it in the dryer and into the washer and then even put it in the dryer, I'm doing the laundry.
Chewy's like, look, I got you into field goal range, okay?
Yes.
You can't split the uprights. That's on you.
Yes.
There seems to be contention on the agreement. You mentioned agreement, Jen. It doesn't seem like this is a two-party system here. It seems like there's assumptions going on. Are you maybe expected to fold and hang up the laundry?
No, but I know I cannot do laundry on a Monday or a Tuesday.
Of course.
What can you do on a Monday?
Work out.
Cut the grass.
Yeah, just the things he actually enjoys doing.
Yeah. I mean, hold on. Folding is the easy part of it.
Folding's the most intensive part of it. Folding is the longest human step of the process.
It is, but you can do it while you're watching a show. That's
sure.
what I always say. Like, I can fold the clothes. It's mindless while I watch
but
a show.
But you got to deal with the smell and the soiling and the sweat and all that stuff. Yeah.
Hey, Chew, wash your sheets more often, okay? I think that's what we're getting at here.
Can you dry clean those?
Wait, that would be more work.
I mean, oh, no.
Are you looking for same day
returns? I just don't like making the bed. The bed is just...
But you like using the bed.
I do.
Okay.
Home and away.
We got to take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We roll on right after this.